No, I'm not saying that God is tricky. I'm not saying that. Let no one say that I am saying that God is tricky. All I'm saying is he does different things at different times. Yeah, he changes administrations. We're talking about marriage and divorce. Very important because, again, at the forefront of Revelation in the book of Genesis, God separates humanity into men and women, male and female. So we're defined by our genders. And there's this tendency of the genders to want to come together. And this is of God. And so there are rules dictating this union between men and women. Now, don't get excited about the word rules. That was the way in the Old Testament. I should now say they're exhortations. But because they're mere exhortations now and not rules, it doesn't mean they are to be ignored. You ignore them at your peril. Now, we want to please God. Some people think that God is just this fuzzy, hairy thing, being wispy, that has no feelings. But yet we do want to please God. We want to. We don't have to. Used to be you had to please God. Now we want to because he's been so gracious to us. And we want to do the right thing. And especially, it's especially important today to do the right thing in our personal relationships, because that's the bag where things go bad. And that's the bag where people look at us and say, you guys are believers? You know, there is such a thing as reflecting the life of Christ. Paul was always interested in the walk of the believer. He would lay forth doctrine first, like in Romans. Romans 1 through 11, he lays forth the doctrine. And in Romans chapter 12, he gets into your behavior. Now, here's how you're to deport yourselves based on what you just learned. He does the same thing in Ephesians 1 through 4, I think. Yeah, right. He gives us some doctrine, and then he goes to behavior. And the whole book of Philippians is how we are to be walking worthily. So, it's important to walk worthily of the calling. There's a reason, because we don't want to reflect badly on the truth. So, for you folks who are married, or who have recently been married, or who want to get married, this is important instruction for you. All right, entering the marriage covenant is a serious matter. You don't take this lightly. It's a big deal. I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, starting with verse 10. This is Paul. Now, to the married I am charging, not I, but the Lord. This is an interesting chapter because Paul goes between what his opinion is and what the Lord is telling him. For instance, in verse 12, now to the rest am I speaking, not the Lord. It's still inspired, but it wasn't a direct injunction to Paul from Christ. Yet this is, now to the married I am charging, not I, but the Lord. The Lord's doing it through Paul. Another great absolute relative example there. And here it is. A wife is not to be separated from her husband. That's it. You're not supposed to be separated from your husband. And a husband, verse 11, is not to leave his wife. All right, I realize that in this eon, shit happens. Yeah, a lot of things happen. People murder each other. People steal from one another. Husbands leave wives. Wives leave husbands. But it's not supposed to be that way. But even if the unthinkable happens, there are contingencies. Grace covers it. Verse 11 says, also, yet if she should be separated, let her remain unmarried or be conciliated to her husband. So Paul says, yeah, there are going to be things that separate people. But these are bad things. It's not meant to be this way. Because here's the charge. A wife is not to be separated from her husband. There's a reason for this. All right, now I'm going to read to you from the Concordant Commentary on page 253 on this section of Scripture. Knock begins this way. It will be noted that conduct pleasing to God always conforms to the divine activities. So whatever God is doing, he exhorts through a particular messenger, he exhorts humans to behave likewise. When God deals out justice, he requires the same in his saints. We're talking circumcision saints. Back in the day of law of Moses, God dealt out justice. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. And the law told people to do the same thing. It was eye for eye, tooth for tooth. That's because that's how God did it. If you do this, I will bless you. If you don't do this, I will curse you. So humans behave likewise. Why should you have to behave greater than your God? That was the law administration. It was an in part administration that was meant to and was superseded by an administration of grace. And A. E. Nock continues, when he is gracious, capital H, when God is gracious, as in this economy or this administration, this time period, he is pleased when we deal with one another according to higher dictates of grace. And we find this out in Ephesians 4:32. Become kind to one another, tenderly compassionate, dealing graciously among yourselves, according as God also in Christ deals graciously with you. So here's a great example of how human activity reflects the divine activity. Now God is dealing out grace, and we are to deal out grace as well. Tender compassions. I love this. This is what I want to be doing more and more in my life, tender compassions. We need more compassion. We need more tenderness. We need more patience. We need more grace. We need more love. It's much easier to do when you see God doing it to you and for you. So back to the commentary. Perhaps we can carry this even further. Redeemed Israel is the bride of the Lambkin. His relation to them is figured by the marriage tie. The present ecclesia, however, is his body, a much closer and more vital union. Okay, now we're going to go down to his comments on verse 10. Listen to this. The law of divorce in Scripture varies according to the character of God's ways in each economy or administration. Because of the hardness of their hearts, God gave them the provisions in the law. This is no rule for us today. All right, I'm going to stop right there, and we're going to go to Jesus on the topic of divorce. And I'm going to go to Matthew chapter 19. Let's start up with verse 3. And the Pharisees came to him, trying him, and saying, "Is it allowed one to dismiss his wife for every cause?" Now, in the law of Moses, there were many ways you could divorce a wife, many reasons for doing so. And some of them are just arbitrary, like if your wife displeases you. Talk about an open-ended arrangement. It was not a good deal for the wives back then under the law of Moses. Women complain now. You should have been around in the law during the law of Moses days. Verse 4, now he answering said, "Did you not read that the Maker from the beginning makes them male and female?" And he said, the Maker said, "My Father, God said, quote, on this account, a man shall be leaving father and mother, and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall be one flesh." Haven't you ever read that, Jesus said? So that no longer are they two, but one flesh. And now this famous saying, which you've heard at many a wedding, "What God then yokes together, let not humans be separating." And that's the way it was meant to be from the beginning, is that there's to be no separation when God brings a husband and a wife together. Let not the human be separating. This is a divine provision, and it's a divine arrangement. Verse 7, they are saying to him, they thought they had him here. This was their test of him. They are saying, "Why then does Moses direct to give a scroll of divorce to dismiss her?" Well, you say that what God has joined, let no man separate, yet that's what your own father, according to you, you're the son of God, that's what your own father said. Well, how come then Moses gave a directive here to allow a man to divorce his wife? Jesus then answered in verse 8, "Moses, in view of your hard-heartedness, permits you to dismiss your wives. Yet from the beginning it has not come to be thus." So we're looking at an ideal. From the beginning it was not meant for a man to divorce his wife. But because you're such hard-hearted people and you don't forgive, and because the law is now presented to you as a eye for eye, tooth for tooth matter, we make an allowance for divorce. Moses made an allowance for divorce in accord with the divine activity, the law of Moses, at that time. But from the beginning, it has not come to be thus. From the beginning, when Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden, there was no such thing as the law of Moses, and there was no such thing as divorce. We are in somewhat of a similar era now. There was, can I say this, more grace in the days of Adam and Eve than there was during the era of law. You had 600-something laws when the Mosaic Law came in. In the days of Eden, there was only one law. Yeah, don't eat the fruit from that particular tree. Not so hard to follow one law. A little more difficult to follow 600 of them. So now we find ourselves in Eden times 10. Now we don't have any laws at all. And oh gosh, this is just getting good, but my time is up. I'm gonna finish this tomorrow. I'm gonna finish reading in the Concordant Commentary. We're gonna see that the Jews were quite shocked at what Jesus had to say next. And again, I want to emphasize for you again and again the importance of our testimony as members of the body of Christ. All right, we got a good study going here. Sorry, I have to stop it right now. I know it's very rude of me. I'm trying to be as gracious as possible, but my grace has limits. See you here tomorrow. Thank you.